This week on Desert Digest, the dining podcast of Phoenix Magazine, we've got PR queen Susie Timmons studio to talk about Arizona Restaurant Week and all the wonderful deals you can score. Along with the oldest restaurant in Arizona, we will reveal the identity and the closing of a favorite steakhouse, all on Desert Digest this week. Welcome to Desert Digest, the dining podcast of Phoenix Magazine. I'm Craig Outier, the editor. Lila Moine is here, the managing editor.
Hey, Craig. Hello.
And our very special guest in studio this week is Susie Tim, who is a publicist and represents many of your favorite restaurants. But also, this week, even more critically, is integrally involved in Arizona Restaurant Week. Hey, Susie, how are you?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. I am awesome.
Great. So we're excited about Arizona Restaurant Week because, as we all know, the last 18 months have not been the best 18 months for the restaurant industry in the history of the world. And Restaurant Week is a good way to get back into the swing of things in terms of consuming, you know, restaurant food like good consumers should. So we're going to talk about that and some of the cooler what that means and what some of the, cooler offerings are out there. But first, we have our news and notes and scuttlebutt section we call Tip of the Tongue. And this week, some of the bigger news items, Char's Has the Blues. Are you guys familiar with Char's Has the Blues?
Yes.
Blues Club on 7th Avenue in the Melrose District. Great place. Has been there as long as time, you know. I imagine the entire square, every square foot of that place is covered in, you know, at least 5 decades worth of sweat. You know, so many great blues bands have played there. So much dancing. It's just like a great place to go and burn calories and have cocktails. I mean, that was kind of my memory of it when I was doing that kind of thing back in my former single life. So it's been closed through most of the pandemic, but it is reopening and kind of a new and improved Char's apparently. They're going to open with a food and beverage concept. I think some like pizza around the side. I think they're redoing some of the patio there. So, and coffee, Leah, apparently coffee. So, because when you're dancing to blues at 1 a.m., sometimes you need the caffeine.
Yeah. Sometimes you're the designated driver and a latte would hit the spot.
There you go. There's the other angle. And you're right. I remember seeing Carvin Jones there quite a few times. Carvin is a friend of the show. On the magazine. Yes. We've had him over and he's great. So hopefully we'll be seeing Carvin Jones, you know, carve a few licks at Char's someday soon. Apparently that all is happening at the end of September, which is right around the time that the Valley comes out of its, you know, summer chrysalis and is ready to have fun again. Also this week, the Arizona House of Representatives, I think is what they're called, passed House Bill 2773, which doesn't sound like a piece of foodie news, but it's been surprising how much food and beverage news has come out of the legislature the last year. This is the bill which will make takeout cocktails a permanent fixture in the Valley's dining landscape. Governor Doug Ducey just needs to sign it. So basically, you know, that those cool takeout cocktails that we had during the pandemic will become a permanent thing. With bars, with restaurants, they can do it as long as they lease the license from a given bar in case that bar doesn't want to do it, I guess. So interesting, you know, format. And, you know, I'm not sure. Are you guys a fan of takeout cocktails?
I was hardcore.
I mean, what kind of monster is not a fan?
Well,
I mean, I guess unless you're not a drinker, which I suppose, but I'm a big fan.
Right.
Have your
it was a nice thing to have around.
Yeah.
What was that, Leah?
Susie, you have a lot of restaurant clients. How are they taking the news and will it be helping them or hindering them?
I think it will help them for sure. So I think it all depended during the major time during the pandemic when it was temporarily legal to do this. Mm-hmm. The restaurants I work with that super embraced it and, you know, made these amazing to-go packages and family meals and gallon containers of margaritas and stuff like that, like they did really, really well. Mm-hmm. some people, you know, it was just sort of like, sure, we can do it. Yeah. Throw a martini in. They're not quite as excited, but the folks who really embraced it are pretty pumped. Yeah. They're pumped. And we worked really hard as a restaurant association to get this through, actually.
So oh, good. Well, good for you guys. I have nothing against it, but just in terms of consuming cocktails, I'm a, you know, spontaneous kind of soul, I guess. Once they've made the cocktail in front of me and done all their, you know, mixology magic to it, I just want to drink it right there. Taking it home and watching it like in the center console, I don't know. It's just not my ideal way of enjoying cocktails. But that being said, better than nothing, I suppose. Then, you know, on the topic of cocktails, have you guys heard of or been to Killer Whale Sex Club? I'm going to say it slowly again in case the listeners at home have not heard of it. Killer Whale Sex Club. This is a cocktail lounge in Roosevelt Row. Obviously a very amusing name. It's the brainchild of Sam Alwyn and Brennan Stewart, a couple of mixology pros, restaurant pros here in the Valley. Mm-hmm. Rumor has it, and this is just something I kind of heard, is that they're going to open a second location, maybe a different concept, maybe not that one. Great place, though. They have a Filipino food truck adjacent to the club, and it's right there on Roosevelt Row. So you can, you know, eat either inside or outside. And the cocktails are amazing. They do a lot of infusions. That's kind of their, I think, what, you know, their bailiwick or, you know, aromatic infusions, that kind of thing, spirit infusions. And they make these great, great cocktails. Fun place on the inside too, really fun design. So really interested to see what they have cooking up, you know, for the summer. So, and then, you know, we have opening and closing news every week, it seems like. I guess the big closing news this week is Bandera, which is a steakhouse from the Hillstone Group, I believe, right?
Yep.
Is closing in Scottsdale. Sad news. I always really enjoyed it. It was kind of one of the first nice steakhouses I went to in the Valley. And I think it's been around for 25 years. Susie, are you familiar?
Very familiar. Really a Scottsdale institution. Interestingly, when I was down in Old Town a couple weeks ago, it's the Art Walk, and I was cruising around and I saw Bandera, and I actually had this thought of, I wonder if Bandera is still popular. Are people still going here? And 2 weeks later, Bandera is going out of business. Close. So I'm sorry to hear that. That is disappointing.
It's kind of a different, you know, it's a different landscape out there right now than when it opened. Yep. I mean, there's just so much more out there. Local steak, Steak 44 and all these wonderful locally owned steakhouses. But it was where I first had heard of a bone-in filet. You know, you never forget your first one.
That is a true statement. And it was really like a hip, I mean, it was such a hip place to go and have lunch and have, you know, cocktails and
classy.
To your point, there's been so many new places that are every bit as hip, and you know, its time has passed.
And it, like all Hillstone Group restaurants, it was always on point. You know, you got exactly what you were anticipating every time. Very repeatable stuff and great. But closing, opening this week, El Pecador in North Phoenix. Think tacos, think upscale churros. I didn't really know what Pecador meant. I don't, you know, I'm not fluent in Spanish. I thought maybe the fisherman, you know, it doesn't. It means a person who sins, a sinner. So if you want to sin with tacos, and you know, don't we all every once in a while?
Yes.
This might be your new place. Also a Latin concept opening, Renata's at the Fillmore. I believe specializing in South American / Central American cuisine, which is cool. We don't have, you know, a whole lot of those, that kind of cuisine in Arizona, it seems like, South American. So that just opened this week at the Fillmore, which underwent a huge $80 million renovation during the pandemic. You know, water slides, the whole bit. And a new restaurant. I believe we're placing Wright's, which was its old flagship. Had you ever, you guys ever been there?
Yes.
Yeah. So they're going a completely different direction and, you know, not a bad one from initial reports. So looking forward to that. Yeah. Speaking of, you know, old restaurants, Were we speaking of old restaurants?
We were.
Maybe we were thinking of Banderas, 25 years.
Yes.
I was trying to figure out my segue. Because you have them, you write them down and you think about them. Oh, that'll be a nice smooth segue. Then you forget about it later. Not so smooth anymore. But I thought I'd give you a little, you ladies, a quiz here based on, you know, food knowledge, that kind of thing. Banderas, 25 years, nice run, quarter of a century. Not remotely the oldest restaurant in Arizona, though. I'm going to give you five restaurants. They're the five oldest in Arizona. I want you to put them in order of which are oldest, you know, to the least old, and which is still very old. You'll see. All right, here they are in no particular order. How about like alphabetical, you know, to make it democratic. Harold's, Cave Creek Corral. I believe in Cave Creek. Alphabetical order. McAlpine's Diner and Soda Fountain. Miracle Mile Deli. That's the third one. Pete's Fish and Chips. There's number four. And Stockyards Restaurant. Excellent steakhouse there near the airport. Harold's, McAlpine's, Miracle Mile, Pete's Fish and Chips, and Stockyards. Which is the oldest of those?
Stockyards.
Yeah.
What do you think, Lynn?
I'm going to go with Susie. I was going to say, can she and I work together on this?
Yes, of course.
Against each other, because she's going to win. I think, yeah, that makes sense to me.
No. Stockyards is the third oldest.
Wow.
Yeah, which is a tie. I'm going to say it's a tie as well. What's your second choice for the oldest restaurant in Arizona?
I don't know. We failed so miserably, Leah. I don't know.
In Arizona or in the Valley?
You know, I'm just going to say the Valley now that I'm thinking about it. I'm not sure Arizona. Since they're all Valley restaurants, it seems kind of unlikely they're the oldest in Arizona.
Miracle Mile just had an anniversary.
Yes.
Like last week or the week before, right, Susie?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did.
But I don't remember the number of it. So I maybe Miracle Mile?
No. Miracle Mile is the youngest.
Okay.
That was going to be my guess.
He's sprightly 72. One more choice, and then I'm just going to lay it out for you later.
Okay, McAlpine's.
Yeah, that's
the next one. Right. It is McAlpine's. It's that was 1929.
Wow.
That's old. I mean, let's do the math. 81, 20, 100, 102 years old.
Okay, but how do we say it?
No, 92 years old.
Can you pronounce it? Like, are you sure you're pronouncing it right?
No, I have absolutely no idea if I'm pronouncing it right. I always want to say McAlpine's.
I want to say McAlpine because it sounds like fancier, but then it's really a soda fountain. So how fancy are we getting here? But yeah.
McAlpine.
We need a
I mean, it could be either. I mean, here's why I'm saying it that way. It's I believe it's M-A-C with a capital A.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
So you're probably right.
I don't, you know, who knows how the Scots phrase their shit? I mean, I have no idea. Mm-hmm. Ask a Scot.
Yes.
All right. So that is the oldest at 90... 2 years old.
Okay.
The second oldest was Harold's, 1935. That's pretty interesting. And then Pete's Fish and Chips and Stockyards both opened in 1947.
Oh, wow.
And you know, Pete's Fish and Chips, that has an amazing history. I mean, wasn't there a shooting or something involved with the owner? And I mean, there's just a lot to unpack with that one. I mean, for a fish and chips place, usually not a lot of drama, but with that place, tons. And then Miracle Mile in 1949. So those are your five oldest restaurants in the Valley. The more you know.
Yeah,
very interesting.
So let's know about Arizona Restaurant Week, Susie. Now you run, is it Pen and Fork?
No. Knife and Fork Media.
Knife and Fork, sorry.
No, it's okay. There's another company with that name. So just want to be clear. But yeah, Knife and Fork Media, which we've been around, this is year 11. I had planned like a big 10-year celebration and then 2020 happened. So here we are. In year 11. And I have done PR for the Arizona Restaurant Association and been part of Restaurant Week since, I do believe, 2011. So for 10 years.
How long has it been around? How long has Arizona
We are in year four. We're in year 14 right now. Awesome. Of Restaurant Week. So originally started just in the fall. And then a couple years in, we added a spring celebration. So it's twice a year in May. And then again, in the end of September.
Right.
We last year, of course, had some we moved it from May. We did kind of a hybrid situation with takeout. And it was a lot of takeout to June, and we didn't have near the number of participants that we normally have because obviously right.
it was just, at least it was something. I mean, most of the food festivals didn't even happen in any fashion. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So we were happy to do something. Then we had a fall restaurant week that had about 100 or so restaurants participate. Typically in fall, we have almost 200 restaurants. So participation was down, but I am really happy to say right now we have 139 restaurants participating in spring restaurant week.
That's great. What's your typical number for spring?
Around 150. So we're real close to being back to that number.
Yeah.
And there's at last count, I was just looking at this. We have over 25 brand new restaurants to Restaurant Week, which is pretty exciting. And it, you know, some of them are brand new restaurants to Phoenix, but a lot of them just,
can you name drop a few of the new ones?
Oh, I'll name drop my little heart out.
Do it.
Okay, so STK Steak, which just opened, the Italian Daughter also just opened, Tap House Kitchen under new ownership, two locations.
Italian Daughter opened like 2 weeks ago, right?
2 weeks ago, and they're already like rolling, so you can't beat that. Chantico, which I personally am like embroiled in a passionate love affair with everything there. I don't know that there's a restaurant in Phoenix that's opened the last 5 years that I've liked as much as Chantico.
That's Walter Sterling's place. Walter Sterling's place on Camelback Road. Walter Sterling from Starlight Barbecue.
Yep.
And what's his like the place on
Ocotillo.
Ocotillo, exactly. Yeah.
So interesting. I worked with Walter back in the day. We opened up Oakville Grocery at the Scottsdale Quarter together.
Yeah.
And so he's been in my phone as a contact for a decade. And when I became so obsessed with Chantico, of course, I'm like, I'm so obsessed. I'm addicted. And he's very, very humble, but grateful. And so Chantico graciously hosted part of our media dine around for Restaurant Week for the preview. So I got to taste their entire Restaurant Week menu, and you will not be steered wrong.
And that's that really is, for people who don't know, that's what Restaurant Week is. They're special pre-feast menus. Mm-hmm. That they offer for a week, I'm guessing.
So 10 days. So 10 nights, we like to say, of dining out. And the menus are a prefix, three course for $33 a person or $44 a person. And that runs like such a huge gamut. So some places will include a glass of wine for your price. Some places will do two people for $44. It just depends. And we have such a crazy, like, wide array of things this year. We even have a cigar bar that's participating, which,
well, that's fun.
We're like, wow, this is so cool.
Do they have food, or is it cigars?
They will have food, but they're also doing like a cigar pairing and tasting. It's just cool. We've just never had some of this happen before.
Yeah.
Lots of places. So there's a new place called Ghost Street Asian Taqueria. And that's an Asian Mexican fusion, $44 a couple. That's at 92nd Street in Shea and Scottsdale.
Cool.
Some of these deals really are pretty tremendous. Ling and Lily's
two people, 40 some dollars, that includes a drink.
Not all of them do, but some do.
Right. That is a smoking deal.
Yeah.
Get on the deal.
If you can find it.
Yeah. And again, there's everything from like super fine dining to, you know, with sports bars to everything in between. All of Chris Collins' restaurants participate. You know, he puts out an amazing menu.
He's a friend of the show. We've worked with Chris Collins before. Macintosh.
Yes.
Town and Country. Mm-hmm. All of his places have great happy hours. They're just kind of fun to go to. He does things with a menu that are different. What are some of his other restaurants now? Macintosh?
The Collins, right. Twisted Grove.
Which is in Scottsdale.
On Hayden, really one of my favorites. They have the best butterscotch pecan pie of your entire life. Like, your brain might melt out of your head, as a pre-warning. The other thing I thought was kind of interesting, the University Club of Phoenix, which is a private club that's been around since the dawn of time, is opening up their dining room, and we previewed their menu for our media preview as well. And very, very solid food. And I think that would be, it's got so much history. It's in this little house in the middle of downtown Phoenix. It's super interesting. So you might want to check that out.
Who's doing the cooking there?
So So they have a dining room. So they serve their members. They're just opening it up to the public.
Oh, for cool. Restaurant.
Wow. So yeah, they have a chef. I think his name is John. Super nice guy and really interesting. So
what's the name of that place again for people interested?
Called the University Club Phoenix. Right. Something I had never heard of, and I've lived in Phoenix since 1992.
Yeah, that's what you got when you like donated $100 to ASU or something. And you're part of the University Club. Here's your bumper sticker.
Well, when you go in there, it's all their members. They have like an alumni room and there's pennants all over of all the people who are members of this club, like what their schools are. So
cool.
You see Harvard, ASU, I mean, all sorts of stuff. So
right.
Cool. And then another new place in Tempe called the Golden Pineapple Craft Lounge.
Oh, heck yeah. We're reviewing that next month.
Oh, good. So they are on the Restaurant Week menu as well. So our Restaurant Week lineup as well. Awesome. If you head over to ArizonaRestaurantWeek.com, you can look at all of the restaurants are on there that are participating. You can look at their menus. You can link over to Open Table and make a reservation. We do recommend people make reservations, especially because restaurants right now are super busy. I mean, I don't know if anyone's tried to make reservations in the last couple of weeks, but it is a challenge. So if you can't get in this weekend, definitely, you know, plot it out a little bit. That's why we do it for 10 days. You'll have a chance upcoming, but it's definitely worth it to take place. I mean,
we have so many restaurants
fly in and
I mean, they're all dealing with lack of personnel. You know, there's this labor shortage. So I know that, you know, they want to hit their spots and making a reservation is a good way to protect everybody. So
it is. And, you know, I will say some of our standby restaurants that have participated for years and years this year because of staffing are not able to participate. Right. So you'll see. But you know, again, we have a lot of new faces. I hope that by the time we get to Fall Restaurant Week, our staffing shortage will be managed and we'll be in a better position as an industry, but everybody's doing the best they can. So patience and a smile are appreciated always.
No, it's great to see you guys back. And you know, if a listener, for instance, hasn't gone out or started dining out yet, this is a wonderful opportunity to do that. So absolutely. Thank you for coming on and talking about it. Every week, Leah gets into a national food trend that she finds interesting. We kind of talk about it and try to localize it. What do you got for us this week, Leah?
Yeah, so it actually goes to what you were just talking about, Craig, the labor shortage. I was reading an interesting article on Eater about restaurants offering signing bonuses or other incentives to try to lure people back. I think that it's been a super tough year for restaurants and for restaurant workers especially. So it's hard to get them back. And Applebee's was a funny one. They are giving apps for apps. So anybody who shows up for an interview gets a voucher for a free appetizer. So I thought that was hilarious. But I wondered, you know, Susie, have any of your clients or any other restaurants you've worked with through Restaurant Week, are any of them employing any kind of fun incentives or anything?
Yes.
Yeah,
absolutely. I have several clients, Rosconi's American Kitchen. He's doing, I believe, a $500 signing bonus. You get it. Well, I think you have to stay a certain amount of days, let's say. But yes, I mean, there's an incentive to stay on. Lots of restaurants are doing referrals for quality employees. It's, you know, it's like after spending a year essentially getting beaten up around every corner, include the labor shortage and the cost of food going up exponentially. And, you know, we're not out of the woods. I mean, it's a hard industry to be in. And when all is said and done and the dust settles, it will be sad to assess that some of our favorites are gone, but you know, doors close and new doors open. It gives other people a chance to get in the industry. So, you know, it's a kind of a natural selection thing that unfortunately no one had a choice in. So.
Well, it is remarkable that signing bonuses are part of the restaurant hiring model now. I always thought it was surprising, for instance, when the Army would do signing bonuses, but I mean, you know, you got to get the labor back. And I remember after the downturn in 2008, you know, that was one of the reasons that the building or the construction industry had a trouble recovering is that all the labor left. So hopefully the same thing will not happen here. But what else can we say? Do your part. Go to Arizona Restaurant Week this week. And it starts today, doesn't it, Susie? Today being Thursday.
It actually does start tomorrow, the 21st. So May 21st. Friday. through the 30th, and it is dinner. So there's no lunch menus or anything like that. And like I said, make your reservations, make them early and often.
You know it. Thank you again for coming on board. And thank you everyone for listening to Desert Digest. We'll be back next week, possibly with the cider brewers from Cider Core in the East Valley. So that should be fun.